up here, turn that down. Okay. Aha! There it is. Okay. What is Galatians about? Jesus. Who wrote the book of Galatians? The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Galatians, inspired by the Holy Spirit through him. And Paul is going around saying, listen, what gospel are you listening to? Because it is not the one I preach to you. You cannot mix law and grace. Jesus didn't abolish it, but he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, because nobody could do it other than Jesus. And he now wants to do it through you. So Paul felt he had to write to this book. Paul wrote this when he was in prison under Roman house arrest, because he was a Roman, right? He was he got that privilege of house arrest there. And so he's writing to the people in the place called Galatia. Okay, Galatia. And he's writing this book saying, listen, I don't know what gospel you're following, but it is not the one that I preach to you. And so he's writing to them on this topic of, listen, this is the one that I did preach to you, and this is the one you need to listen to. So we're going to pick up. I've done an intro already to the book. I've talked about chapter 1. So we're going to do the first part of chapter 2 today. Okay, and in chapter 2, we find Paul recounting a crucial meeting that was had in Jerusalem. A meeting that it could have changed the course of Christianity if it had gone very differently. He went to Jerusalem because this meeting was that important to him. So Paul traveled this distance. He went there and he said, listen, we got to talk about something. Again, there were false teachers insisting that Gentile believers, in other words, non-Jewish, okay, non-Jewish believers, we were called Gentiles, all right? He is there. I'm talking about these false teachers who are insisting that Gentile believers must follow Jewish laws and be circumcised to be saved by Jesus and his work on the cross. Now, do you know what circumcision is? Okay, so I don't need to talk about it, right? We understand what that is, okay? Right? So if you were a Jew and you wanted to follow everything, on the eighth day after you were born, you would be circumcised, okay? And so they're saying, hey, you still need to do that. And Paul says, Jesus fulfilled all of that. We do not mix law with the message of grace and truth through Jesus Christ. And so he's there in Jerusalem having this meeting, discussing this with the Christians in Jerusalem there. This was so completely and utterly dangerous to Paul to start mixing law in with grace, because it attacked the very heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that salvation is by grace through faith alone. No additions, no subtractions, exclamation mark. Amen? Is there anything we need to add to Jesus' work? Is there anything we need to subtract from his work? No. And Paul's saying, you're adding. You're adding. There is nothing to add. And so he felt this was so completely important to him, because it was dangerous, because it was attacking the heart of the very gospel of Jesus Christ. It was that important to Paul that he went all the way to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles and ensure the message of the gospel remained pure and undivided, no longer under law. Amen. We hear that? So many Christians want to add to it, that we feel that my work helps to save me. That the work that I can do, doing my daily devotions every day, getting on my knees and fighting like a man, praying every day, that all of these things help to gain me favor with the Lord. Now, it's beneficial for you to do those things, but it does not save you. Amen? Right? It doesn't save you. Only Christ's work on the cross can do that. But Christians still today in the church think it's works, my works, will save me along with his. And Paul's saying, it is Jesus alone that will save you. Let me read to you from verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. Then after 14 years, this is Paul speaking, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders. I set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Did you hear that? Okay. So after 14 years, wow, what was going on? This is after he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, right? And God spoke to Paul and said, Saul, remember his name was Saul before he met Jesus. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you killing my people, my children? And after that, after 14 years, what was Paul doing? It was a season of preparation for Paul. He had been under Jewish law for his entire life. So he had to rethink his whole way of God and life and this newfound person, the Messiah, the Christ called Jesus. So he needed time to think about, okay, I got to redo this whole thing called life because I've been doing nothing but following the customs of the law and trying to follow God's precepts and laws and commandments. But now I met Jesus. It's changed everything. So Paul took out 14 years of his life. It was a season of preparation for Paul because God had a message to preach through him to the Gentiles. Amen? It was a time of preparation. It was a time of growth for Paul. He is now under the new covenant. He had to rethink. I've been under the old covenant my whole life. What does it mean for me to be in the new covenant? How do I live my life now that I'm not under these customs and these traditions and these laws? How do I do this thing called life? Have you ever asked that question to yourself? What does it look like for me now today? Because we are living in the greatest times of Christianity, are we not? Because he has come and he has sent the Holy Spirit to put that spirit in us so we can be empowered to live this life in through Christ. Amen? We should all be really celebrating and smiling every Sunday because there's no greater time to live. We get to live in the times of Jesus Christ coming and his Holy Spirit came to empower us to live this Christian life. Yes? Yes. Yes. So Paul took out those 14 years to prep for growth and to come to a deeper understanding of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Good thing to do, yes? Right? Was Paul in a hurry? No. After 14 years, he says, I went up again now to Jerusalem. This time I took Barnabas and I also took Titus along. I went in response to revelation. Now I want to key in on that. Paul went in response to a revelation. He didn't go in response to an education or more information. He went in response to God's revelation. How many of you know that you're being led by revelation? The world promotes education, and I'm not saying education is bad. That's not my point here. But they promote education and more information. Has more education and more information freed people yet? No. But that's what the world promotes. To mentally get healthy, you need to be doing this, 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 and this, and Jesus' name isn't even mentioned. If he is the way, then every other way cannot be the way, right? If he is the truth, then what anybody else proclaims that's truth outside of him cannot be the truth. Amen? He is the way, and the every other way is not the way. Paul was looking for God's revelation. Church family, we will be a healthy, healthy family. And people will want to be around us if you're looking for God's revelation in your life. Not more information from the world, not more education. Trust me, my mentors, who I wanted to go and get my PhD to, and my one mentor said, he said, Chad, do you know what PhD means? I said, what? Post hole digger degree. I said, do you want to know a difference between my PhD and an eighth grade reading level? I said, what? He said, about that much. He said, it's what God taught me in life as I've gone along in life. It is the greatest tool that we all have is life and living it and looking for him to speak to us and bring us wisdom. Amen? Now, again, God can speak to you through education, right, all that. I'm not saying it's bad, but it can become bad if you're not seeking out first his revelation. If God calls you to go take that course, go take it by all means. If God calls you to look this up and get some information, by all means. But the point is, did God call you? Because he says, come to me. Always go to him first. Amen? So Paul went for revelation first, and then meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders. I love this. Titus, did you hear him mention Titus? Do you know that name? Is there a book called Titus? There is. Titus and then Philemon, right? We talked about Philemon. I like Philemon better. Titus was a Greek believer, okay? So Paul brought with him a Gentile believer. Titus was a Greek believer, and he was living proof for Paul that Gentiles could be fully saved without adopting Jewish customs. Paul was smart, right? Here, I'm going to bring proof to you so in case you don't believe it. And listen to what Titus says, because he's received God's revelation. And then you'll know. We don't need to continue to follow Jewish customs. Titus was not circumcised. Can you believe it? Right? He was not circumcised. And yet, he was clearly filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in faith. Amen? Amen? I love that. I love where Paul says. He says, I went in response to a revelation and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I set before them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. Here's the message I preached to the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Don't you love that? There's some humility there. Did you read it? Right? Paul is not coming in saying, hey, listen, guys, you better listen to me. I met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He spoke to me out loud, right? And he didn't come saying, I am the authority. He humbled himself and went before those other apostles who walked with Jesus. And he said, I just wanted to make sure I'm not running my race in vain, but I'm convicted about this, guys. I'm convicted about this. And nowhere did Jesus say to us that we have to keep. He said he fulfilled it. He fulfilled it. And so I love the humility of Paul in that. Verse 3, yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks. We got trouble in the ranks, right? They infiltrated our ranks, to spy on what? What were they spying on? The freedom we have in Christ Jesus. And to make us slaves to the law. We did not give in to them for a moment. I love that. Right? What is the title of my sermon? No matter what. We did not even give in for a moment, Paul says. We dug our heels in. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. As for those, let's just pause there. Paul knows that to give in even slightly would destroy the freedom believers have in Christ. Did you hear that? Right? They've infiltrated our ranks, right? But we're not going to move. And he knew that to give in even slightly would destroy the freedom that believers were experiencing in Christ. The gospel of grace absolutely cannot be mixed with human effort. Did you hear that? The gospel of Jesus Christ, which is a gospel of grace and truth, absolutely cannot be mixed with what? With human effort. Right? It's not your effort that gains you favor. It's Christ's work on the cross, his effort that gains you favor with the Lord. Amen? Do you know what some people do? As I've traveled around the world, do you know what some people are doing to gain favor with the Lord? Some people get nailed to a cross. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some people fall on their knees. I can't do it anymore because I have bad knees. but fall on their knees, their hands hit the ground, their head hits, and then they step where their hands were, and they do that for kilometers and kilometers and kilometers. Oh, yes. Some will climb a big, huge hill mountain with a cross on their, carrying a cross with nothing but shorts on. These are all things that happen around the world to gain favor with the Lord. Does it work? No, so that nobody can boast. What would we all do? Oh, well, that's all that you did for Jesus? Well, you know what I did? I went naked and climbed up that mountain with a cross on my back. Oh, yeah? Well, I did the same thing, but they nailed the cross to my back. It's what man does, isn't it? I got to one-up you. But we are all one the same in who? In Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, slave nor master. We are all one the same in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what I love. I love that I can just stand up here and tell you that I don't have anything that you need. Because if you have Christ, then I'm just going to witness to what's already in you. Amen? The fullness of the Godhead, as it says in Colossians, lives in bodily form in you. And in Christ, you've been brought to what? That fullness. Oh, saints. You are a saint, right? Saved by grace through Christ alone. Amen? Right, we got that? We got that? Okay. Can you just imagine for a second with me, okay? Someone offers to you a glass of clean water. Now, when we bought this house, it came with a Culligan system. There's 5 different filters on this sucker, okay? I've never tasted such good water. All right. Now, we were just blessed. It was already there. It was already purchased by the previous owner. And so it goes through this huge filtration system. Wait till you come to my house and taste it. It is so good. And you drink this clean water. Just imagine you have this very clean, pure water, and you're really thirsty, right? Like you're so thirsty like me right now. Oh, gosh, that's so refreshing. That's my water from home. It has my lips on it, but please come try if you want. Okay? I'm all about sharing here, except for you, Jeremy. Okay? All right? So you're super thirsty, and imagine someone offers you this pure glass of clean water, okay? But they added just the smallest drop of poison to that glass of water. Is it pure now? No. It is no longer pure, is it? Right? It is now deadly to you. The same is also true of the gospel of Christ. If you add even the smallest of things to you that even sniffs of the law, right? If you add anything to it, works, rituals, traditions, etc., it now ceases to be the true gospel. You got it? Right? Just like that water. I add the smallest amount of poison, it is now contaminated. It is now deadly to me, isn't it? And that's what Paul is saying. That's how deadly this is. And that's why it was so important for him to go up to Jerusalem to say, listen, we need to talk about this. I think it's deadly to the spreading of the message of Christ. And we need to end it now. Okay, you with me so far? We're good? Are we excited? This is exciting stuff, isn't it? Clay, you're right with me. I love it. Those nice big blue eyes. Okay, listen, right? Freedom is one word that is used in the Christian Bible that isn't in any other text. Did you know that? Because true freedom is only experienced in Christ, right? Outside of Him, you have no freedom, do you? And Paul wants to protect that freedom. I want us as a church not to live in bondage. Even with the most horrible thing in your life. Yes, we're going to have emotions. We're emotional beings, amen? But it's what we do with those emotions. Are you going to let them spiral you into desperation and hopelessness? Or will you take those emotions and put them underneath Christ and His truth and who He says you are and who He is and continue to move forward in the peace knowing that He still has the authority and the final say? Right? That's the difference. Will I trust Him? This freedom was so important to Paul. Okay, verses 6 to 9. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. Did you hear that? I love Paul. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. Right? Did you hear it? God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they saw that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, just as Peter had been entrusted to the message to the Jews. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the Jews, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, who is also another name for Peter, okay? James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and then to the Jews. Whew, there's a lot in there, right? Can you see why this is such a fun book to go through? Look at, so most of you are smiling. You can't help it, can you? It's good news. It's good news. Paul was not intimidated by titles or positions, was he? I don't care. Right? It doesn't need to say on my office door, Pastor Chad. Title means nothing to me. If it said, Child of God, Chad, on my door, I would love that. Right? I don't need titles. What does it do for me in this world? Nothing. Absolutely. I want to be known as a child of God. A weak man who believes in a great God. Amen? Amen. Titles mean nothing to Paul. Right? He was not intimidated by titles or positions. He knew that spiritual authority comes from God alone. Right? Not from man, right? When I'm up here speaking, do you know what my prayer most Sundays are? God, let them not hear from a man today, but the Christ in this man. For if they just hear from a man, nothing significant will happen today. But if they hear from Christ in this man, wow, are significant things going to happen. Amen? Okay, I sounded like Jeremy there for a second. Okay. I love it, brother. Hey, that's a compliment. Right? Somebody else said, yeah, right? Okay, Paul was not intimidated by titles or positions. He knew that spiritual authority comes from God alone, not man, no matter their rank or position or title. Listen, if your goal is to build a kingdom on earth, you will care about rank, you will care about title, you will care about position. I am not here to build a kingdom here on earth. I am here to build into the one that is already there, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen? That is the kingdom we're building. And everything we do should be to build into that kingdom. Amen? And to help others discover that kingdom and the person of Jesus Christ, right? We are not about titles and ranks and position here. We're all equal. We're all the same. I do not care what background you came from, where you came from, what you've done or haven't done, said or haven't said. It does not matter to me. It doesn't even matter if you murdered someone and you've come in to forgiveness on that. I know God can still work through you. Amen? Right? We are a people who believe that here. There is no title here. When Paul says the right hand of fellowship, right? Here's what he means. The right hand of fellowship, meaning that it symbolizes the unity and partnership that both Peter and Paul had in their mission. Different audience, right? Peter was to go to the Jews. Paul was to go to the Gentiles. Different audience, but united in the same gospel message, right? United. Now, you may have different calls on your life compared to the calls on my life, but we're united in the same gospel message, are we not? You know what? Can I say this? This is why it's so important to me for people to come to know Jesus, because they're going to express that message in a different way that I would, right? And they're going to be able to share it differently to a person who might receive it and not from me and through how I express it, right? Right? We're all, God wasn't in the cookie cutting business, right? We're not all made the same, right? We're all made uniquely, right? And so it's important. And so Peter's mission was to the Jews. Paul's missions was to the Gentiles. They were right hand of fellowship, meaning that they had unity and partnership, united in the same gospel message. Amen? So that's what that means. Okay. Now, verse 10, last verse. We're going to end on this one. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. So that's what came out of, okay, Paul, yep, go to the Gentiles. Yes, share this message, right? Share it, right? Go and preach to the Gentiles. We're united in this gospel mission. But Paul, please, all that we ask is that you continue to remember the poor, the very thing that I'd been eager to do all along, Paul said. James 1:27 says this, religion as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The call of the Christian church is always to remember whom? The poor, the needy, the orphans, and the widows. Amen? We cannot forget that. Peter encouraged it. The apostles encouraged Paul. Continue in that. And Paul says, yes, that's at my heart too. To look after the poor, the downtrodden, the needy, right? The broken. Paul is showing that our gospel message is not just theological. It is very practical and a reminder to be deeply compassionate towards others. Amen? Some of us get stuck in the theology and all of it all, right? The doctrines, and we got to have all this theology straight and this doctrine straight. But you know what? When people are in brokenness and they're hurting, nobody starts quoting to me theology and doctrines. Right? What carried them for the believer is the relationship that Jesus had with them and they with him. You can have all your theologies and your doctrines all worked out, but when I see people broken and hurting, they aren't quoting any of those things. I want us to remember that the true, that what Paul is saying here, it's not just theological. Our message, the gospel of Christ, is very practical, and it's a reminder to be deeply compassionate towards others. Can I say that again? Can we be a church who's deeply compassionate towards others? To this area and our community, to those within your sphere of influence, wherever you live, at the end of the day, let's remember to be deeply compassionate. Friends, my family, please remember that faith without love is always incomplete. Do you hear that? Your faith without love will always be incomplete. Everything I remember, one of my mentors, he's from India. You've heard me mention him, Alex Matthews. That's his English name because I can't pronounce his Indian name, right? Sunaina probably could, right? But Alex, he always said to me, Chad, when you're counseling with people, when you're meeting with people, you always have to do it from the foundation of his love. Never, ever forget that. And you know what? I haven't, because I just shared it with you. I still remember it to this day. Right? Your faith in Christ without love will always be incomplete. The true gospel we live and share will always flow into acts of service, acts of grace, acts of mercy, acts of kindness and generosity. Don't you agree? Right? The true gospel we share will always flow into those things if we're working from the foundation of love. And it's not what is love, but who is love. And who is love? Jesus, 1 John 4:8, God is love. Everything we do has to be done with that foundation, and then it will flow into service. It'll flow into grace to others, mercy, kindness, and generosity. Defending sound doctrine must never make us cold or proud. Did you hear that? Defending sound doctrine, defending Jesus, must never, ever, ever make us cold or proud. No way. The same gospel that frees us also calls us to serve, right? Especially the poor and the needy. Okay? Did we hear that? Okay, can I just say it one more time, because this is so important to me? Defending sound doctrine must never make us cold and proud. Well, I know all my theologies and doctrine. I'm a super Christian. I've gone to seminary. I have a PhD in theology. I've seen it. And it makes people proud and cold. Look what I've accomplished and done. But it should never, ever do that. No way. The same gospel that freed us and frees us also calls us to serve one another. Grace received should always become grace given. Right? Grace received. We have so much grace given to us. It should always be given away as well. Right? Grace received, it should always be grace given. Let us serve. We are not leaders who serve. My leadership team, we aren't leaders who serve. We're servants who lead. Jesus was a servant who led. Amen? He led through his serving. You want friends? Go and serve them. Watch how many friends you get. They love you. I remember there's this one missionary, and he lived in this gated community, and he said, man, I just don't know why I can't get to anybody, right? Well, he's living the high life in this gated community. I said, go serve them. Get outside the gates. Go live with them. The next year we saw him, all of a sudden he says, man, I got a ministry now. I said, yeah, because you're amongst the people who you're trying to minister to, right? He went and served. I promise you, serve and you will find friendship. Okay. Our services are getting so wonderfully long, aren't they? Three lessons today, and I'm going to summarize it all. One, be led by the Spirit, not by human pressure. Revelation, okay? Two, stand firm in the truth of Jesus Christ. Never compromise the gospel of grace. Stand firm no matter what. In who? In Jesus, not your human effort and works. Three, walk in unity and in love. Remember the poor and serve them. Oh, Lord, please let us, as Provost Community Church, never, ever forget the poor and the needy, the orphans and the widows. Amen? Can we help remind each other of that as family? Right? Let us not forget them. This is not a message of works that saves us or a religion even. It is a message of redemption and grace in Christ alone. Again, religion was made because man was trying to get a hold of God. Do we get a hold of God or does he get a hold of us? Yes, religion was always man trying to get a hold of God. The Christian faith, the Christian walk, the true gospel is God getting a hold of us and working his way through us. Get the difference? Right? Okay, this is not a message of works that saves us or a religion even. It is a message of redemption and grace in Christ alone. We are saved not because of what we do for God, but because of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. We're not human doings, right? We're human beings. We're human being in Christ. The doing for Christ flows naturally out of the being in Christ. You got it? Right? If you're about doing, you're going to wake up and you're going to put your doo-doo glasses on. And everywhere you go, you just doo-doo. Because that's what it ends up becoming, just a bunch of doo-doo. Put on your Christ lenses and let him do through you. The Christian life is living in Christ, him moving through you. Right? And the doing for him flows naturally out of the being in him. You got it? That always has to come first. Okay. Amen? Okay. You've heard enough from me for 1 week, hey? Look at, you're so wide awake. Even Clay, look at, he's wide awake. He's locked on me. Amen, brother. All right. Okay. Would you guys pray with me? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your truth. Thank you for your truth that sets us free. Thank you for the freedom that we have. Thank you for others like Paul, Peter, James, who've gone before us, Lord, to make sure that the gospel remains pure. We do not mix law with grace. It is Christ and Christ alone living in through us. So, Lord, let us be reminded to look for revelation, not more education, not more information, but your revelation. And God, would you wonderfully work so well and through us as a church? We don't want to forget the poor. We don't want to forget the needy. We do not want to forget the orphans and the widows, Lord. We want to look after them. We want to care for them where the world doesn't. So, Lord, thank you for this little church. Thank you for the people who've come. Lord, thank you for blessing us with your life. I pray everyone here comes to know the depth of understanding and the loving relationship that we have in you. Christ in you, as Paul says, our only hope of glory. Lord, be with us this week. May we be reminded every day of your, have an awareness of your presence in our lives. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, amen. Sorry I took up 50 more minutes, but it was all good. Right? It's all good. Have a wonderful week, you guys, and I'm looking forward to seeing you next Sunday where we'll pick up the next half of Galatians 2. All right.